trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. What's left to do?
Come on.
Truth is, I'm weak. No strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Please take me to the King. Truth is, it's time to stop playing these games. We need a word for the people's pain. So Lord, speak right now. Let it fall like rain. Oh yeah, we're desperate. We're chasing after you. Oh,
God, hallelujah, take me to the King, hallelujah. I don't have much to bring, hallelujah. Sometimes I feel like my heart is torn in pieces, hallelujah, but it's my offering, hallelujah. Oh God, I just thank you and praise you, hallelujah, that we can come before you without having to go through man, that we could just go to you, we could come to your throne, we can lay before your feet, glory to God, and not have to worry about having to go through any person, hallelujah, but we can just come straight to the throne, hallelujah, glory to God, for ourselves, glory, hallelujah, I bless your name for that, Lord God, hallelujah, glory, to God. Hallelujah. Yes, I bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, we just thank God on tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For he is truly worthy. He is truly worthy. He is truly worthy of the praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I just tell God, thank you today. Hallelujah. Because he is so worthy. There is no God like him. Hallelujah. There's other gods in this world, but they were created. Hallelujah. Nobody created our God. Hallelujah. He just is. Hallelujah. He just was, and he just will be forever and ever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we thank him today, hallelujah, that we don't have to worship things that were made with hands. Hallelujah. But God made us, so we worship him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank and bless him on today, for he truly is worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So speaking of the throne that we can go and lay before, hallelujah, we just want to go and pray right now and just ask God to send his Holy Spirit to come in and join us on this broadcast on tonight. Glory to God. And tonight we're just going to share some truths tonight about ourselves and just show ourselves where we are and, you know, deal with, think about what you're thinking about and see what we really wrote down and see some of the things that, you know, we discovered about ourselves as we thought about what we were thinking about and wrote about what we were thinking about. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you and praise you for your goodness and your mercy, oh God. We bless you because you are God. We ask you to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask your Holy Spirit to come into this broadcast and teach us, Lord God. Teach us things that we don't even know, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Teach us things, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to be obedient to your word, obedient to your Holy Spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you and praise you tonight. I thank you for Pastor Felicia. I thank you for how she's come into the chat room and blesses us, oh God. Father, I thank you and praise you for my husband who joins us on the broadcast, oh God. Father, I just bless your name. Father, I just say thank you for another day of life, Lord God, for, hallelujah, every day. We don't know if we're going to get up or not, but, Father, we just say thank you. We bless you, Lord God, that you allowed us to see this day, Lord God, and we just say thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for those who may be listening live, Lord God, or even in the archives who may not be saved, Lord God. We pray, oh God, that you will draw them nigh unto you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that no man can come unto you, Father God, except by Jesus Christ. So, Jesus, we lift you up that you can draw all men unto you. We lift you up, Jesus, that you can draw all men unto you. We lift you up, Jesus, that you can draw all men unto you. Hallelujah. For your word says, and I, if I be lifted up, talking about Jesus, hallelujah, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the word also tells us that no man can come unto the Father except he be drawn. Hallelujah. So, Father, we pray that you draw the backslider, draw the sinner, oh God, draw the unbeliever, draw the so-called atheist, oh God, draw those, Lord God, who don't know the truth, can't distinguish the truth from a lie, Lord God. Draw them to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I pray for their soul salvation tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And, Father, I thank you for it. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anoint us afresh, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that we can go forth and do your will. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We pray, hallelujah, for continued grace and mercy. We pray, Lord God, for continued fellowship with you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, hallelujah, that we will not lose sight, Lord God, of the mission that you have called us to, and that's the go out and make disciples, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Father, we just thank you and praise you for it right now. Father, I pray for those who, Lord God, who have come to know Jesus, have come to know you and have turned their backs on you, Lord God. I pray for the secret alcoholic. I pray for the secret drug user, Lord God. I pray for those, Lord God, that are secretly doing things, oh God, because they don't want people to know that they're doing them, but because they know they're wrong too, Lord God. I pray for them. Those that are calling on Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, those that are in the closet homosexuals, the closet lesbian, the closet bisexuals, Lord God, I pray for them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will heal and deliver tonight, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you will deliver them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, those that are suffering torments from the devil, oh God, I pray that you deliver them tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, hallelujah, as I think of my friend who died, oh God, who was tormented by the devil day and night, oh God, I pray, Lord God, for those who remain here on this earth that are being tormented, those that have come to know you, Jesus, those that are in church and are being tormented, oh God, and don't have anybody to minister to them, Lord God, I pray for them, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. I cry out for them tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for the pastors, oh God, of these people, oh God, that you will give the pastor a heart, oh God, to understand, hallelujah, a heart to pray for the people in their churches. I pray for them, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will give them discernment of spirits, oh God, not judgmental spirits, oh God, but discernment of spirit, and give the pastors compassion for the flock, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that they can minister aright to the flock, that they might be delivered and set free, God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord God. For Father, we realize that many have been in church, oh God, and been hurt, oh God. I pray for those that are in church that be hurt, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Remove their hurt, oh God. Remove the bitterness, oh God. Remove their pain, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, I pray this, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, asking you to do it, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, God, there's been enough hurt, Lord God. There's been enough being abused in the church, Lord God. There's been enough of people being rejected and lied on, Lord God. There's been enough, Lord God, in the body of Christ, God. And I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will cause those that are doing this, God, to repent, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And then after they repent, oh God, that they will turn back to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, with a heart of compassion, a heart of love, Father God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, God, give us compassion, oh, God, hallelujah. We think we have compassion, oh, God, but give us compassion for those, Lord God, that are out there on the streets or strung out, oh, God, that are alcoholics, the prostitute, Lord God, the whoremonger, Lord God, those that are laying on the bridges, those that are in the streets that have no homes, oh, God. Give us compassion for them, God. Let not the compassion wane away, God, but give us a true compassion that you have, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the truth is, Lord God, all of us are one paycheck away from being out there ourselves, oh God. But for your grace, Lord God, but for your grace, hallelujah. But for your grace, Lord God, and our faith in you, we're not out there, God. And I just say thank you for that, oh God. But Father, I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that your will be done. Hallelujah, God, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for your ministers and your pastors and your elders, oh, God, and your apostles and your bishops, oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, God, I pray, God, that you will just cleanse the fivefold ministry, Lord God, and the entire, hallelujah, body of Christ, oh, God. When we've fallen short, I ask you to forgive us, God. Father, I cry out to you for the body of Christ and ask you to forgive us, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, God, sanctify us, cleanse us, wash us. Make us clean, Lord God. Give us robes of pure white, God, in the name of Jesus. Help us not to be selfish. Help us not to be mean. Help us not to be obstinate. Help us not to be argumentative. Help us not to be selfish. Help us not to be full of pride, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, tear down all strongholds, Father God. I ask you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, I ask you to cast out rebellion, oh God, strife, anger, bitterness, jealousy, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, and we bind and rebuke the spirit of error, God, in the name of Jesus, and we call forth the spirit of truth, hallelujah, from on high, God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah, for we know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Lord God, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. We know that we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, but God, hallelujah, you've given us power over every unclean spirit. Glory to God, hallelujah. And we take authority over every unclean spirit in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. And God, we say that no weapon formed against us, no weapon formed against the body of Christ, no weapon formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. And Father, where there's isms and schisms and divisions and strifes, oh God, Father, we pray that you tear that down, God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. God, let none of us think of ourselves more higher than we ought to think of ourselves, oh God, in the name of Jesus. But Father, I pray that we come together in unity, that we come together in the unity of the faith. God, that we come together like they did in the book of Acts, Lord God. They were on one accord. Lord God, they were of one mind and on one accord and in one place, Lord God, praising you, oh God. They were praising you, not complaining, not murmuring, not backbiting, not lying, not causing division, not shedding innocent blood, Lord God. Oh God, not feet that are swift to shed mischief, oh God, to spread mischief, oh God. Father, but they were together on one accord in one place, waiting on that power that you promised them, oh God. That power of the Holy Ghost. So we call on that power of the Holy Ghost tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, to teach us, Lord God, to help us to transform our minds, to help us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, oh God, to help us to walk in the spirit so we will not fulfill the lust of our flesh, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, hallelujah. Oh, Father, I just say thank you right now, God, hallelujah. I thank you right now, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I plead your blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I plead your blood. Hallelujah. Jesus, I plead your blood. Hallelujah, Jesus. I plead your blood, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I plead your blood, Jesus, over the entire body of Christ. Hallelujah. Wash us, God. Cleanse us. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know you didn't go to the cross just to be going to the cross. Hallelujah. But you went to the cross to save us, to heal us from our sin, to heal us from our iniquity, to heal us from our transgressions, to heal us from our wickedness, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Take us back, Lord. Take us back. Take us back to where we first believed. Take us back to where we first received you, oh God. Hallelujah. How we were on fire for you, God. How we had zeal for you, Lord God. How we had love for you, Lord God. Take us back, Lord God. Hallelujah. To where we first believed. Hallelujah. And to where we first received you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Father, I just want to say thank you for that right now, Lord God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, I want to say thank you, Lord God, and I give you glory. I give you glory. I give you honor. And I bless your name, hallelujah. I bless the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus tonight, hallelujah. The name of Yahshua, Yahshua, Yahshua. I lift up your name. Glory to God. I lift up your name, Yahshua HaMashiach. Yahshua, I lift up your name and give you praise, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And for this, I say thank you, hallelujah. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, Yahshua. Yahshua, Yahshua, amen. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I bless your name, Lord God, hallelujah.
Somebody lift your hand. As we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know it's awesome, say it. Lift your voice.
Awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say
awesome. salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say it.
Type of stuff, and then I thought about righteousness. And I thought about in her book. So I just began to rebuke the devil, and I began to speak God's word. Like, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I've been trying to figure out, where does that stem from? You know what I mean? Where do I get that, feeling like, what is it? Like I'm less than. Or I can't, you know, I'm not, Laura, or I compare myself. That's what I do a lot. I compare myself sometimes to somebody. Well, they know all that. I don't know that much. So I'm just going to sit here and be quiet. You know what I mean? So,
Oh, no, I know.
Amen.
That's one of the things that I deal with. And I hadn't realized that I do that often. I do that often. And
you ever asked God why you do that? Have you ever asked God why do you do that?
No, you know what? I haven't. No. And that's what I need to do. Why? I need to see, you know, I need to figure out, where does that stem from? I know as a child, you know, my dad was never at home. And then even in the home, there was a lot of abuse. And then I used to always find ways to try to please my dad, because I felt like trying to get his attention, like good grades in school and stuff like that, thinking that it was my fault, or maybe if I do that, then maybe he would stay home. I don't know if that had something to do with it. You know what I mean? I always find ways to please my dad. Even growing up, you know, I became a hairdresser. My grandmother was a hairdresser. My aunts and uncles were hairdressers, and my grandmother's mother was hairdresser, so I became a hairdresser to please my dad, you know what I mean, to try to fit in, you know what I mean? So I don't know if that stems from, I do know it's something from my childhood, and I just have to see where it came from. I have to find the roots,
and I do
need to seek God.
Do you ever try to look at yourself and see yourself the way God sees you? You ever ask God, how do you see me?
No. No, I haven't.
I'm asking you that. I'm asking myself the same thing. So, because what the enemy will do is he will play on our emotions, and he will play this little game that you're talking about right now. Oh, I'm not good enough. You know, and he'll do that to us to keep us bound so we cannot go forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the tricks that he'll use to keep us bound up so we won't go forward. We can, I mean, for whatever reason, the things that we've gone through in our lives, we felt like we've needed to please people, we've needed to be a certain way, or they're not going to accept us, or, you know, for some reason or other, we just don't measure up. But that's a lie from the devil, because look, we are who God made us to be, and we're peculiar people, and we're not dumb, we're not stupid, we're not less than anybody else, and we got to tell ourselves that, and we got to tell the devil, you will no longer use that against me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I am no less than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no less than anybody else in the kingdom of God and in the eyes of God. He made me fearfully and wonderfully. I don't have to measure up to nobody. And somebody told me today, and my husband says this scripture often, don't put your confidence in man. Don't put your trust in man. And a lot of times it's not even man that make us feel this way. It's us. It's something that in us that we got to get delivered from.
Yeah.
Something in us that we got to, you know, tell ourselves that, you know what, I am somebody in Christ Jesus. I really am. Not to be proud and arrogant, but so we can get up out this mud hole of saying that, I can't do that, or, oh, no, they're going to think this about me, or I don't talk right, and I don't, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Moses had that stuttering tongue. Joel, do that stuttering tongue thing Moses did.
Lord, I can't do this. My tongue is too thick, and I am not able. Send my brother. over Aaron.
Now, you see, that right there is a testimony. You know why? Because my husband used to stutter.
Mm-hmm.
You hear him talk mm-hmm. now, right?
Right.
So you believe
not
he used
sure.
to stutter?
No, I can't believe. Nope, not at all.
He used to stutter. Okay? In school, the kids would tease him. He would stay at the end of school, be the last person to leave the school because he didn't want people to make fun of him the way he walked.
Mm-hmm.
He would miss the bus and walk home because he didn't want people to make fun of him. But look at him now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he got over that, but look at him now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We got to look at ourselves and see ourselves the way God is. I mean, the way God sees us.
You know what? One of the reasons why, Evangelist?
Okay.
That it turned around for me. Mention those things. So sometimes I have to catch myself, even yet. There are times even when I get on the phone that I'll begin to stutter if I put my mind on what I'm doing and what I'm saying. But the thing mm-hmm. that I think that saved me in the end was the fact that I understood at a very early age what God wanted from me, and I began to walk in that, and I began to have faith in that and nothing else, not faith in people, not faith in the things I couldn't do, but begin to move in the things that I could do. And people began to see that in me. I used to always, in spite of my stammering, whenever I would stand up in the Sunday school plays and other things like that, they gave me opportunity. I would never stutter then. I would never stammer. I would never stutter. I would speak articulately with dramatic flair about me. It was where I needed to be and where God had placed me in this world for. And I think part of the reason why we're not certain about ourselves is because we really haven't found our real niche in life, what we really mm-hmm. were created for, what is our real purpose. And as you begin to move in purpose, those things that would hinder you in fulfilling that purpose are soon shredded away, and they soon disappear. And before you know it, the very thing that you thought would hinder you actually exalted you above your condition. Am I still subconscious the way I walk and the way I move and things? Of course I am. There are times still I find myself like that. But then I remember why I'm here. Then I remember mm-hmm. the purpose God has placed me in, and it propels me. It launches me into what I need to do. And so I say, now, what's the more important, what God wants me to do or the condition I'm in? And it's always the same answer. What God wants me to do. Because when all is said and done, whatever God wants me to do, he's going to equip me to do it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Teresa and I, we've talked about it often, Evangelist Teresa and myself, about her and about me, our past. I mean, I was born with cerebral palsy. You know, I've been teased from the time I was able to walk virtually by people that did not understand the situation, and then things got worse. I got asthma. Then I had a hip fusion on the good end. And now instead of me walking with one side bad, now I'm walking with both sides bad, almost a wobble kind of way of walking. But regardless of all of that, God still never changed his purpose for my life. And I think I really believe that once we ascertain our purpose, our real purpose in life, not so much what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, but what's your purpose? First, get your purpose in mind. Before you mm-hmm. implement the fullness of your purpose, first, what is your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you begin to understand your purpose, you'll begin to excel in those areas that will fulfill the purpose of your life and really put away those things that have no bearing on your purpose.
Right.
I could have said, I could have looked at my brother mm-hmm. and my the other males in my family that were able to do certain things that I couldn't do. But I could do things they couldn't do. The one thing I could do, I could preach. I was a great orator. Even before I began preaching, I could deliver whatever the message is that I was supposed to deliver in the house of God. And it got to the point that I was the main debater in school. And I was when everybody wants somebody to speak about something, they'd ask me to do it because they know I could speak well. And so God will give you, equip me with what you need, and that's what you have to harp on. That's what you have to really concentrate your efforts in developing, the very thing that God purposed your life to be, and the gift, and that's one thing. Let me say this, that I'm through. How you know somebody your purpose? What is your gift? What are you gifted at? What are you good at? Somewhere along the way, God's going to tap into that. Now, you may be good. My wife is a great administrator. Now, that's in the business world. But God can take that same gift of administration, which is a gift. That's one of the gifts that's mentioned in the Bible, administrations. And he can take that gift of administration and apply it to the church. If your gift is, even if it's in the secular world at the moment, you say, well, I'm a good teacher, high school teacher or elementary school teacher, or I have compassion for sick children, or I have compassion for elderly people, or I have a compassion for this or that, that is probably your purpose in life. Mm-hmm. Begin to walk in that. If you're more comfortable around people that are senior citizens, find a nursing home, find a convalescing home, find a hospital where they're located, minister to them, and then that'll develop something in you that will carry over to other areas of your life.
Amen.
Thank you.
You just stop right there. Hiccup or something?
Huh?
You had a hiccup or something?
No, but I know sometimes when I talk too long, you tell me, okay, somebody else wants to talk, so I stop myself this time.
Oh, I didn't say anything, though.
I know, but I got a feeling.
Want something else, or you could have just kept going.
Oh, you doing something? Well, I mean, one thing I did.
No, wait.
I know. That's not what I
said. You started. No.
Did I say
you
release? I knew when to stop.
It's not going to stop you from talking, because what I'm going to ask you to talk some more. Now, how about that?
Oh, we're going down.
Now, so what are some of the things that you were thinking about that you wrote down?
Well, yesterday, the first thing I did was thank God for waking me up this morning and allowing me to see another day. The second thing I did was to make up my mind that I was going to have a positive thought process and positive things in my heart, productive things. That's what I pledged myself to yesterday. And even today, I was doing a lot of things that were trying to get the revival together and different ideas I had and things of that nature, as well as I was studying some things about disability ministry, both in the Bible, people that were disabled in the Bible. I got a few more that I never knew before, and I started studying on those things. I thought about, my mind went on to who to invite to the revival. I was thinking about that a lot today. And even yesterday, that's when it all began, yesterday, when you told us to do it. Fifth point, I turned unto Jesus in the morning, and turned on Jesus in the morning, listened with a glad heart and a humble spirit to the song Tomorrow by Tamaya, is that his name? But that version of the song Tomorrow, I like that song so much. And I was listening to that, that ministered to me. I was thinking how I would like my wife to work in the Center City office and begin to aggressively fulfill God's mandate upon her heart, preparing to begin a comprehensive plan and strategy to get the disability ministry up on its feet, nationally and internationally. I was thinking about how to make the best of the time that I have to those that I love and care about, and even those in the time I have to make it more valuable, less TV, less videos, less movies, less PlayStation 2, all the things that I like to do. I've stopped that. I turn off the TV now. I watch a little bit in the morning, but I really start off every morning with Jesus in the morning, or used to be when Teresa used to be on early in the morning. I would start with that. And then I turned on TBN. I did that for the last couple of days instead of the things I normally would do at those hours.
And how did you feel?
I really felt good about it. I felt that I was doing what I needed to be doing more of. And so that's what I do more of. I still have my time of those other things, playing, watching TV a little bit and all of that. But I start my day off, and it's really pretty much ironic. My nurse hasn't been coming on time, so I can do it a little longer. I get up earlier. I get up at like about 5, and then I go right on through until 7 in the morning with you in the morning, and I go till about 10 o'clock. And with just TBN or Jesus in the morning or praying, reading my Bible, doing something that's spiritual, listening to YouTube, the hymns and the Christian songs. Tomorrow I was listening to that today again. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, other songs I was listening to edify. And it really does edify me. I like spending the first moments of my life, of my day rather, and then really of my life with the Lord and the things of God. And it sets me.
Any thoughts in your? Did you have any thoughts during the day that were not on God?
Yes. Yeah. I do. Yeah. There have been thoughts that were not of God. Certainly. I got a little.
I didn't say of God. I said on God.
Oh, thoughts of on God?
Yeah. Well, there's thoughts that you had that were not on God. I'm not saying did you have any sinful thoughts or anything like that, but did you think of anything that was not related to God, like?
Yeah.
Natural stuff.
Yeah, I did. When I did play PlayStation, I wasn't thinking about God at that particular time. Though I'm gonna be honest with you, there's not many times, even if I play my games and things like that, that my heart does not go to God with something. I was watching a movie about a nun the other day, day before yesterday. And everything goes back to God now to me, with me. I mean, I'll retrace it. It'll go back to him again, you know. No matter what I'm doing, I'll find myself drifting into thinking about him. I'll think about him even if I'm doing things that are mundane, ordinary, secular. My mind will still relate to him, be connected to him somehow or another. He'll come through my mind again. And then I'll pause from that, and I'll think about him, you know, and I'll pray to him or something. And sometimes it's just a thought. But I feel connected to him, and he's never out of my mind anymore. As I'm doing what I'm doing, more and more, he occupies my thoughts. I'll put it like that. That's the best way I can say it. He occupies my thoughts, even when I'm not thinking on him per se. He'll come into my thoughts anyhow. He'll come to my thoughts anyhow. It comes back to him again, and I'm less able to shake him like that or not have him in my thought process, and the more I stay before him, let those hours in the morning extend themselves. Even when I stop doing it in the actual way, he'll come into my thoughts throughout the day. Even I'm doing things that go, you know, like I say, PlayStation, even watching TV sometimes, he'll come into my thoughts, and then I'll kind of drift off from watching the TV or drift off from playing the PlayStation. I let it play itself, you know, and not me play at it with me. And I'll just drift off and think about him again. I get on the computer, and I'll start going researching something on the computer about the Lord. And today I was researching the difference between praise and worship. And I was studying on that, and I was praying on that, and God was filling me with that, and wisdom and understanding, revelations were coming to me as I was doing that.
Well, y'all don't want to know what I was thinking about.
Yeah, let's get back to you now. What are you thinking about,
Evangelist? Wait a minute. I was thinking about why in the world did I make them do this assignment, because I don't like it.
Ooh, I thought about that, too. I ain't even going to lie.
I was like, wait a minute. I'm about to call them and tell them we're not going to do this assignment. This is just too much. Trying to tell you I'm so serious. I was done with myself. I was like, you know what? This is just, I won't do this again. But it was funny because as I was thinking about writing about what I was thinking about, I started getting upset. I was like, this is just too much, because, I mean, I was writing. And I said, you know what? I just can't do this anymore. I was literally going step by step, and I was at work, because at one point at work, it was just a law. There was nothing to do. And I just began to just think about stuff, like things people had done to me, and rehearsing that thing over and over in my mind. I was like, okay, it's time to stop thinking about this. Like, stop giving these people space in your mind. And, you know, I was thinking about that. And then yesterday, somebody I went to school with, I had got reconnected with, she died yesterday. So I was thinking about all of that, you know, like, God, what did I do? Did I do anything? Did I do enough? Could I have said or done anything else to save her? This was just all going through my head because, you know, she was having some problems. And, you know, I didn't know how to reach her. And then yesterday they found her dead on her couch. So I thought about that. Like, those thoughts were just constantly coming back to me, like, to the point where I almost got depressed, saying, God, how did I failed her? Like, God, please don't lay this sin to my charge. Like, God, I don't know, what else could I have done for her? Because she actually was crying out for help. But I didn't know what else to do for her because the substances that she was using, they became her comfort zone. So I didn't know how to deal with her because she just wouldn't listen. But when they found her dead yesterday, that just messed me up for the whole day because that's all I kept thinking about. I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it. But before she died, I was thinking about some other situations that had happened recently. And I was thinking, you know, how can I get this person back? I'm just going to get on Facebook and I'm just going to say this, that, and the other. And I'm not going to put their name in it, but they're going to know it's for them. You know, stuff like stuff like. Really, I did. That's the kind of things I was thinking about, and I was writing it down, and I'm looking. I'm like, you are just giving too much time in your head about this stuff. Stop it. So then I had to pick up my Joyce Meyer book, and I had to read my Joyce Meyer book, you know, just to go over some of the things that we had gone over and go over some things prior to what we went over, and then I had to read some scriptures, and I had to sit at the desk and just hold my head. I'm like, God, I need you to help me. I need you to help me. And then after that, I just got busy at work, and I didn't have time to think because I had to think about what I was doing at work. So those are some of the things that I was thinking about when I was at work. At one point, I was like, I wonder what my husband doing. You know, I wonder what he doing at home right now. I just wonder what he doing. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about jury duty. Why they call me for jury duty? I don't want to go to jury duty. Why don't they call somebody else? So I was trying to think of, you know, well, what I'm going to tell them? Because I'm going to go in there and act crazy so they won't even choose me for jury duty. these are the kind of thoughts that I was having. And I'm like, Lord, okay, it's time to get a grip. Like, I got tired of thinking. I was like, is there a point in time where I could just not think? Because I was so cognizant of the fact that I was trying to think about what I was thinking about, that I was thinking about what I needed to think about so I could write it down. It just became too much.
mm-hmm.
It was too much. I was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And silence came into the room. Come on, Felicia, it's your turn. Come on, up it up.
You were talking about your friend. See, there's this one young lady that I have been, you know, that, and she's been, I've been thinking about her a lot for the past couple of days. Well, actually, past few weeks. She's in a domestic violence situation, and she had left her husband. Well, she got away from her husband, and she'd been in the hotel. He found her. Now, the other day, he had a gun to her chest. He got away. You know, he left, rather. And even last night, he came back, and he had the gun. So I'm like, I keep trying to tell her to leave. She's going to have to leave that destination, but she's not leaving. And so I'm thinking about, you know, as you were speaking about your friends who had passed away, and I'm like, wow, so I don't want that to happen. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't know how to get her to understand the seriousness. I don't know, you know, that she has to leave. I don't know if it's the finances. I don't know if, I don't know. I just don't know. So that's been on my mind as well.
Is she born again?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Pray for her. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. The Holy Ghost will give you what to say. The young lady that I was talking about who passed away, she had a pastor. But she even rejected the advances of her pastor. And God had to really you know, ministered to me about that, that sometimes people just don't let you in. And there's nothing else you can do for them but pray. And then the Holy Ghost will have to do the rest. There's really, like, at some point, if they shut you down and don't listen to you, if you've done all you can do, there's nothing, the blood's not going to be on your hand. We don't want anything bad to happen to people, but people have to make up their minds. Look, I want to get out of it. They got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired before it's too late. And not everybody, and I'm not talking about this young lady, but not everybody makes it out of domestic abuse before it's too late.
That's right.
You know,
that's
but
right.
We got to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray for these women,
amen,
people in abuse. And that's what I want, you know, you and I to pray, to just come together and pray. Just pick up the phone and just pray. Lord, teach us how to pray for these people.
Right.
Because I don't want another person to die and we be sitting here saying, I don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us and will instruct us on what to do. We just got to make sure that, you know, when the Holy Spirit brings that person to our mind, that we pray for them, that we intercede for them, because apparently they can't intercede for themselves. You know, the people with domestic abuse, you know, I don't know. It just takes, I was in a situation with domestic abuse, not with my husband, but I was in a situation with domestic abuse. And I was in that situation for over two years until I just, you know, I was like, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm not dealing with this no more. But I went to the extreme with it, to the point where I was getting ready to get on crack because he was on crack. I'm like, well, crack must be really good if it got you acting like this, so give me some crack. And I never did it, thank God. I never did it. But God delivered me, but it was people praying. It was people have been praying for me for 2 years, for over 2 years, because I shouldn't have never got into the relationship, okay? But people were praying for me, but it took that one instance for me to just say, okay, it's over, it's enough. And, you know, keep praying for her, because we never know when she's going to get to that point, that aha moment, or that, duh, let me get up out of here and go moment. Just continue to pray for her, and when you pray, don't say, oh, well, she's not going to listen anyway. You know, sometimes we do that. Oh, well, she's not going to listen anyway. I did that with this young lady. Oh, she's not going to listen. She would call me, and her speech would just be slurred. And I'm like, why are you calling me? Like, can I pray with you? No, I don't want you to pray for me. Or sometimes she would say, you can pray for me. But it was like she was in a zone, like not even really paying attention to what I was saying. But God hears the prayer. So, you know, God knows her heart. He knows how she really feels. And all we can do is pray for them.
I'm going to say something at this point if I can. When you shared it with me yesterday about this young lady passing, two things came to mind. One is what you're saying now, and that is, well, sometimes we just have to resign the fact that we can do all, we can only do but so much. You know, even Christ stands at the door and knocks. You can't break down the door of you know, self-esteem. There's other issues that play in domestic abuse. You don't feel, almost what Pastor Felicia was talking about, in some ways, you know, you just don't feel worthy, and people beat you down so much that you just don't feel that, you know, that maybe you deserve it, or whatever the case may be, or you can't do anything, you can't do better than this individual because he's the only one or she's the only one that can love you, that kind of thing. So you just stay with it. Sometimes you stay with it because of the children, other reasons, that you may stay with it. You get on drugs for all kind of different reasons. Once again, most of it's self-esteem and all of this type of thing. That plays such a major role in people's decision-making. But the other thing was, besides that, the other thing was it should propel us. These are the things that propel us. You know, so you make up in your mind that let me get that center together. So let me get the ministry together. Let me start having services so I can invite them to services. You know, let me do something so when someone else comes along that maybe not quite far gone as they are. Maybe it's favorable. Maybe it's redeemable. Maybe I can pull them from the jaws of death in the nick of time. There's somebody out there that hasn't gone so far that they can't come back. Maybe this individual, like Teresa's friend, she's gone now, so she went far too far enough to come back. But there's somebody else out there in our family, maybe in the neighborhood, in this apartment complex, someone out there that needs the ministry to go forth. To me, it's a challenge. When things happen like this, it's a challenge to me. It means that I need to be moving along with the thing God called me to do. You know, and you know, if that means having something at the house, if you can't afford to have something in an auditorium, this house can see at least 20 people. If you get one out of those 20 that saves, God bless you. So I, you know, these things to me, they're supposed to propel us. They're used to say, okay, come on now. Come on now. If we really were together and really were moving like we were supposed to be moving, could there have been another way for her to go? You know, but so I think it's an opportunity. I look at it as an opportunity, not as a failing, but an opportunity to now do that thing that you know you're supposed to be doing. God called my wife. I know she has. To those who are battered, abused, abandoned, and lost, women in particular. And so, you know, this woman may have been lost in the abyss, but nevertheless, there's thousands of others, millions of others, may I say, that fall into the same category. Even with your friend, Pastor Felicia, there are maybe somebody who's ready to move out of their abusive situation, and they're waiting for you to come into their lives to help them along and encourage them and persuade them and convince them and to show them there's a better way than to take mental, psychological, physical, and every other kind of abuse that they may be taking, that they're ready for the change. And sometimes, you know, we get so caught up in the one, we forget about the other one that still is ready to be helped, that's longing to be helped, that wish that somebody would call them up and tell them that somebody cares for them, and somebody has them on their mind, that I'm praying for you, that I've opened up my heart and my doors to you. So I look at these in Teresa's case, this tragedy, and in your case, Pastor Felicia, this potential tragedy as being a stepping stone or a motivator or a launcher to mm-hmm. reach out and move aggressively in opening up something or if no, first of all, your own heart, and then to actually begin to do something in an aggressive way that'll make it so that maybe one person can be saved that you touch, that you talk to, that you try to persuade. And I just think it behooves us to begin to move in ministry. I think time is drawing near. People are more desperate now. I mean, this situation's not going to get any better. This world is getting more and more corrupt, economics, everything that would pull people down. Spiritually, people are all confused and bewildered. I mean, they're doing everything. There's a spiritual need in every human being, but they're searching different places, different types of things to try to get that peace of mind, that joy in their life, and we have the answer. So what we need to do is begin to share it even the more aggressively than we ever had before. If God calls you to be a pastor, Pastor Felicia, then begin being a pastor to whoever he's assigned you to pastor to. And maybe it's another woman like this woman. And maybe that woman is ready to hear what you have to say and ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit and ready to have a change in their life begin to unfold for them. Teresa, the same with you. You know, this girl may be lost, but there are a lot of girls, young ladies, your age and younger, and children too, that need you, are waiting for you to begin to move in such a way that they can come somewhere once a week. Not once in every once in a while, but once a week they can come, or three times a week, or every day if need be, they can come and sit and talk and converse. But we have to be available. We have to be willing to make that sacrifice. That's a sacrifice too. But you know, once again, we're called to make a sacrifice. Our lives are committed and a purpose to be sacrificial. Our whole life is sacrificial. Christ made a sacrifice, and he requires us to do the same. Thank you.
The thing is, you know, she left. Now, she did leave, but he found her. But she hasn't left the hotel that he found her at. You understand what I'm saying? He keeps coming back, like, tormenting her, like.
Right. She leaves, and yet she leaves the door open too. You know, there's always a possibility. Mm-hmm. Most times, domestic situations, they all the women many times just wishing because they still love that man, and they mm-hmm. somehow or another they see something redeemable about them. And I'm sure there is. I think there's good and bad in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at your own life too, and your own safety and your own future too. And sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, somebody else has to come along and see that good and work on that good in that man. I'm just praying for that young lady.
But sometimes they can't get away because they're so bound down in fear. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're so bound in fear that they're frozen by fear and they can't move. I'm telling you, it's going to take people in the background praying because I'm telling you, being in abusive situations, not just by a man, by even in, you know, the situations in the church that I've had to deal with. When I was trying to break free, I couldn't break free because of the fear. You know, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, if I leave, what they going to do? They going to do, you know, all kind of stuff goes through your mind when you try to leave, especially when somebody is physically abusive to you.
Right.
Oh, my God, if I leave and they catch me, what they going to do? You know, mm-hmm. and sometimes it is love and sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's love and fear.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is that, you know, they think they deserve that. Oh, I deserve to be beat up. I deserve to, you know, when they come in and beat them. Oh, yeah, it was my fault that I got beat up. You ain't do nothing but say, hi, honey. And he just start wailing on you. Oh, yeah, it was my fault because of the way I said, hi, honey.
But you know, from a male point of view, I was just taught by some good men in my family that even if a woman puts you to the limit, and I've had that in my life, they put me to the very limit. But still, we were always taught not to fight back with a woman.
We were taught
to fight back with a woman.
Right, so you've never actually experienced that kind of thing where you were the abuser. Okay, me having to deal with an abuser,
right,
but with a physical abuser as well as an emotional abuser. Okay,
emotional.
I dealt with a man who was, you know, he was messing with my emotions real bad. Going out, sleeping with other women, sneaking out at night like I was stupid and I didn't know it. You know, and they would tell me some kind of cocky mammy story and I was supposed to believe it.
Amen.
Okay, and mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, you know, you get to a point where you know what, enough is enough. And you do something about it if it's not too late. You know, and I thank God that the guy that did hit me, you know, I called the cops on his behind, but they let him out of jail in 2 days. You know, and he violated the restraining order, and he came to my home and everything. But I thank God that he was not able to kill me. He wasn't able to attack me as bad as he wanted to attack me. But, like, again, I had people around me that they were just praying. They were praying. They were praying. And I never should have gotten in this situation, but I did. And so that thing happened. But then you got people that are dealing with emotional abuse. People are dealing with rejection. People are dealing with all kind of things. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. Sometimes it just, I don't know. God just has to do it in his time. And we pray for her protection. We pray that, you know, that this guy would not hurt her, you know, kill her or anything. You know, that God will save him, her abuser.
Mm-hmm.
That God will save him and bring him out of whatever is causing him to be an abuser.
Man.
You know, sometimes we pray for the victim. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we got to remember the person
who's the victimizer.
The victimizer. You know what I'm saying? Because there's something going on in their head too that they need prayer. There's a reason why they're acting that way. You know, we don't know. We don't know. Maybe they were abused. You know, hurt people hurt people. Maybe they were abused. Maybe they weren't abused. It's just maybe something inside of them, they got some kind of demonic spirit in them that's causing them to be abusive. So we got to pray for them too. And I think a lot of times when we do fall short as far as domestic abuse is concerned, we pray for the victim and forget to pray about the, what you call them, Gerald?
Victimizer.
The victimizer. We forget to pray for that person. And we need to pray for them too. So, well, whoever this lady is, we need to pray for. Is it her husband or her boyfriend?
Her
Her boyfriend.
Okay, so we need to pray for her boyfriend and ask God to heal him and deliver him.
Well, I think
from this rage and stuff that he got inside of him to cause him to do what he's doing to her.
Well, to me, I think it behooves us, if we're going to pray for the victim, we have to pray for the victimizer, because if I can get him off her by my prayers, I'm helping her.
Yeah, that's true, mm-hmm. But I just brought it to
life.
You
know, because, I mean, look at it from, you know, if he changes from his wicked ways, that's going to save her life.
Well, that's why I brought it to light, because a lot of times we...
That's what I'm saying, that's very good.
A lot of times we forget about the victimizer.
Yeah.
And, you know, his soul needs to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
A lot of victimizers were victims, too, like you said earlier.
Yeah, he's a soul. He's a soul.
Yeah.
He, you know, and he needs to be saved. He needs to see the error of his ways, and he needs to be saved. You know, not, Lord, God, take him out of here. No, God, save him. Deliver him, Lord. Whatever it is that's in him that's causing him to be this way towards her or any other female. God, I ask that you save him. I ask that you heal him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Heal him so that he will not continue to be an abuser, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, show him your love. Let him know that you love him. Maybe he didn't have love in his life. Maybe, you know, his daddy left him and he felt abandoned. I don't know what he thought about, but believe me, when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost will let you know what to pray. That's why we always talk about the Holy Ghost and praying, you know, letting the Holy Ghost pray, because the Holy Ghost will pray for things that we don't know what to pray for. He
mm-hmm.
will make those groans and those utterings that we don't even know what, because we don't know what to say in our natural minds, Felicia. And my husband
mm-hmm.
talks about this all the time. We forget about the Holy Ghost. We pray to God the Father in Jesus' name, but the Holy Ghost is right there. Make an intercession. He'll
mm-hmm.
intercede for you, for this woman. I know he will. He will.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't think about it, you know, praying in the Spirit. That's part of the armor of God.
Yes.
That's part of the armor of God.
So what are we going to do about it? We're going to start praying in the Spirit more.
Praying
in the Spirit more. Because there's a lot of people out here hurting, Pastor Felicia. My husband's been in the pastorate for a long time, and he's seen a lot of things. He's seen a lot of hurting people. He's seen people in all kind of crazy relationships, you know, all kind of things happening to them. But there's a whole lot of people that's hurting that's not saying anything. And I think we're going to talk about this Friday. I just set the episode up for Friday, and I called it The Battle of Abuse. Are you ready for your deliverance? And I'd like for you to share that with as many people as you can, because there's a lot of people hurting and not going to say anything. And I just want people, in light of the fact that she died, in light of that fact, I want to get back to that, because when I first started doing broadcasts, that's what I was doing. I was ministering to people who were rejected, abused, broken, just didn't know what to do. And the people were responding. People were calling in and, you know, just crying out to God, because I need help. I don't know what to do. People were calling in. And I think it's time to go back to that. It's time
mm-hmm.
to go back to that, because you got people in the church who are in a fivefold ministry who are, you know, pastors that are hurting, and they're treating people bad because they haven't been healed.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's apostles out here trying to, you know, people making themselves apostles and bishops and evangelists and things of that nature because they didn't get attention at home, so they're building themselves up trying to be this, that, and the third, and that little person inside is still hurting. They haven't been healed. You know, some people haven't been called to these offices. They just made themselves these things because it's something lacking in them. So now I am somebody. But when they go home, you know, male and female, the man might go home and feel like a little boy at home because his wife is dominant. His wife might be an abuser. He might feel like he has no authority anywhere but in the church. And I think one of the things that we do is we like to minister to women, but we forget about the men. We forget
right.
about there's men out there hurting just as much as women. There's men out there, you know, closet drinkers and closet pill poppers and closet whores and closet homosexuals because they've been abused. They've been abused. Like that book, that part of the book that we read in Joyce Meyer's book, Battlefield of the Mind, the part where she talks about John's story. John was abused by his mother. She told him he was no good. She belittled him. He could never do nothing right. You know, he went the opposite way, though. He just became passive and just let his wife treat him any kind of way. But you have men out here who have been abused by their mothers, men who have been abused by their fathers, and mm-hmm. they haven't told anybody about it, so secretly they're suffering. And mm-hmm. you hear all this ministry about women, you know, women, this one, but men are suffering, too. They're mm-hmm. out there suffering. And it's just time to, you know, move on and let God use us the way he wants to use us. You know, he'll do what he wants to do, but the body of Christ needs to be healed. The body of Christ needs to be healed. And I promise you, there's a lot of people out here hurting, and then there's a lot of people out here still hurting people because they're still hurt and need to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they yep. could preach a good sermon, but when they go home, you know,
that's right.
They go home and they're depressed and sad. Oh, but you know, they feel good in church because that's the only place they feel good. Mm-hmm. Don't feel good at home because there's nobody at home making them feel good. Or maybe they might not even be in a relationship. They might just go home to a dark house, to the, you know, woe is me again. Oh, I'm somebody when I'm at church, but when I'm not at church, I'm nobody. You know, it's just a lot. And people need to be delivered because if not, I don't know what's going to happen. People just hurting, you know, bent over in the spirit. They feel like they don't have anybody to talk to. Pastors that feel like they don't have anybody to talk to. Well, I'm the pastor. I can't tell nobody this because they're going to look at me a certain way.
That is so true. And they do. Hallelujah.
And it's time for healing. You know, Jesus came to heal us. He came to set the captive free. He came to heal the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
Set at liberty those that are still, you know, captive and broken and still in a mental jail. He came to set us at liberty. You know what I said, us. He came to set us free. You know, if he can do it for us, and he's still doing it in me, God is still healing me, okay, from years of abuse, not just in my childhood, but in my adult life.
That's right.
He's still healing me. And while he's healing me, I would like to bring out as many people as I can so they can get healed. Because Jesus, he's not a respecter of persons. If he heals me, he'll heal you. If he heals you, he'll heal somebody else. We just got to cry out to him and allow him and say, you know what, God, for real, I know I said it before, but God, for real, I'm serious. Like, I really want you to heal me. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of, you know, being sick. And when I go to the doctor, they can't never find nothing wrong with me. They can't find nothing wrong with me because it's a spiritual thing. It's not something that's physical. It's spiritual. And God wants us to be healed. I'm telling you, people forget that a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven when Lucifer got kicked out. So we got all kind of demons running around here. But we got to pray for discernment and ask God to show us what's what. Help us. Show us. We need to pray for discernment so when we go in and pray for these people, we can know what to call out.
That's right. Amen.
Holy Ghost, what are we supposed to be praying for these people? What are we supposed to be praying? Tell us what to pray for. Not so we can run around and tell their business. No, but so they can get their deliverance.
Amen to that. Yes.
There's roots. People, when they get abused, they got those roots that's underground that people can't see. That's why people do secret stuff. They got those roots that's underneath. They got layers and layers of stuff that they need to be delivered from, and only God can do that. But there's people out there now saying, God, I've had enough. I'm tired. I need my deliverance. Those are people that, I mean, we can pray for them. The Holy Ghost will, he'll have you praying for stuff. You'd be like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, wow. And Misha said, can y'all please pray for Carol? She has arthritis and is in the hospital. Wow, she can't walk at all. For Carol.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up Carol to you, Lord God. And, Father, we just bind and rebuke the spirit of arthritis in her right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, your word says we are healed by Jesus' stripes, and we just believe that she's healed in her body, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we know, Lord God, that not being able to walk is not of you, Father. So we just rebuke that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And Carol, we just call you whole and healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we bless you right now for her healing. We bless you right now for her deliverance, Lord God. Show yourself strong on her behalf, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Show her that you really are God, oh God, and do this miracle for her, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you for it now being done. I just thank you for Carol having a testimony, a praise report. In the name of Jesus, that she will get up to walk and she will walk like nothing ever happened. In the name of Jesus. God, I know you can. I know you can, so I believe you. And I thank you for her right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God will do it. He'll do it. He will. He will. And that's what, you know, we're supposed to be helpers of one another. This is why the book of Acts, I'm telling you, that's an awesome book. If y'all never read the book of Acts, please read it. Because the book of Acts is awesome. Like, my husband is teaching the book of Acts at Bible study, and I know sometimes I close my eyes or I fall asleep in the Bible study. It's a shame. But I heard everything he said. Everything he's teaching, and I'd be clinging in there for about a whole hour, and then after the hour go by, it looked like the sleep just hit me, bam. But he's teaching on the book of Acts, and if you look at in the book of Acts and see how these people were united, they were united. I mean, no, everything wasn't perfect with them, and, you know, sometimes they had art or whatever the case is, but guess what? When it came to spiritual things, they were united. People were getting saved by the thousands, okay?
Mm-hmm.
People were joining the church daily, getting saved, getting delivered. I mean, come on, Paul. Was that Paul, Gerald, that would walk past the people?
Peter.
The shadow, they would get saved just by a shadow?
Peter.
And they would take the aprons off of their body and just give it to the people, and the people would get healed? That's because the people were in unity. Okay, they were on one accord, and their purpose was the same purpose. It was to do the will of God. He anointed them. He gave them the power of the Holy Ghost to lay hands on the sick so they can recover, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. He gave them that power. On one accord. Okay, they were of one mind. And like I said, because my husband brought this point out, they didn't always agree on every single thing in life. No, they didn't.
That's right.
All right, they were still human. But I tell you what, the Spirit of God moved with those people because they were at a place, a spiritual place, because they prayed. And everybody did what they were supposed to do. The deacons did what they were supposed to do. They were anointed to serve. They didn't count it as a menial job to serve. They served while the apostles prayed and did the work of the Lord. They didn't think, oh, well, they just want me to clean up. They just want me to serve tables. I'm not doing that because I'm Evangelist Teresa. I'm not cleaning no table. That wasn't their attitude. They were anointed to serve. They were anointed to wait on those tables. That's what they were anointed to do. The people prayed before they chose anybody to wait on the tables. Do you hear that? They prayed. They didn't say, okay, Johnny, you just go and do the tables. No, they prayed. Because when you serve, your heart got to be right when you serve. Can you see somebody just going up to somebody and throwing the plate on the table because they got attitude? How is that bringing glory to God? Take their mind off of anything else that's going on, and they might just miss their deliverance because your attitude, because you threw the plate on the table. Or your attitude was, you know, you walking around looking all crazy. I really don't want to be here. I don't really want to be serving tables. Come on now. And that's what that's a lot of our problems today is we just won't come on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
We just won't come on one accord. And if we would come outside of the four buildings and unite and go out in these streets and begin to pray on the corners, begin to pray outside in front of hospitals, begin to go outside and just begin to do things that is just not, you know, comfortable. Get out there and begin to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to use us and intercede through us. And people in the hospital, while they're getting operated on, they will begin to get healed. They might not know what's going on, but God knows. But no, we can't come on one accord. You got this denomination right here, and in between this denomination and the other denomination is another denomination, and nobody wants to come together because my denomination don't believe that and your denomination don't believe that, so we just not going to come together. Where is unity in this thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the difference between all of it is this.
Unity, we're supposed to all come to the unity of the faith. We're supposed to all be coming to the unity of the faith. We shouldn't have all this division and this ism and schism in the body of Christ. But it's going to take somebody to make that change. Bishop. Bishop.
Yeah.
You were getting ready to say something?
Oh, no. No, I was just going to say the key to this is that the whole thing was this. Peter, going to the book of Acts, Peter had a problem, and so did the early Christians, except for Paul probably. But the others, the ones that actually knew Christ, had a problem with new Christians not being circumcised and also eating with non-circumcised Gentiles who wanted to be Christians. He had a problem with all that because the Old Testament talks against that. But the difference, and he with Paul and Peter had a lot of offs against each other. But the thing, the difference was this, that they were such praying men and such praying women that God would reveal himself and his purpose in everything that they did. And God went to Peter and spoke to him in parables, spoke to him in allegories, if you will, and told him, you're wrong in doing this, not sitting with the Gentiles. Harping on this thing, you must be circumcised or you can't be a Christian. And he spoke with Peter in a vision, in a dream. And Peter was willing, because he was a praying man, he was willing to turn from his opinion and in favor of God's mandate upon his life. See, and then everybody came back together as one. See, our problem is, I was taught this in my denomination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get off that point because that's what I was taught. That's my tradition. That's my background. And
mm-hmm.
so God has no room to come to me and change my mind because, first of all, I'm not going to pray about it. I've formed mm-hmm. my opinion. It's what I've always done. It's what I was trained to do. It's what everybody that preceded me did. So I'm not even going to pray about this thing. I'm going to stand on it because that's what I'm going to stand on. So when we get to that part, then God did like he did in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, he allows your heart to be hardened. He allows you to stand on your stubborn way. He allows you to stand against him in favor of what you think is true.
Mm-hmm.
And so the 21st century church versus the first century church is simply this. That if they had an opinion on something, or they even had a tradition on something. They were always open to change because they were always open before the Lord. They were always on their knees praying, seeking the guidance and instruction of God, to the point that even if I'm against it, God will come to me in a dream, and he'll straighten me out. And I'm not going to wake up and stand on what I once stood on because I have that kind of communion with God. And God speaks to me because I speak to him. He instructs me because I seek his instruction. And he's always the final word in everything that I believe. 21st century churches, we've been doing this for 20 centuries. I ain't going to be the one to change it now. That's the difference.
Well, then, we just need to pray because we need to all come into the unity of the faith. It's not, you know, we've made it so individual. I don't know.
Look, there, how many denominations, how many churches are there with all these various doctrines? Are all these doctrines true?
No.
My Lord.
Because they're contrary to each other. I believe in infant baptism. Someone else doesn't believe in infant baptism. I believe that communion is should be taken with the parishioners only get the wafer, where the priest gets the wine and the wafer. I believe that in communion, my group believes that this wine and this bread actually becomes the body and blood of Christ. I believe it is symbolic of the body and blood of Christ, and not literally the body and blood of Christ. A third group believes that it's intermingled with consubstantiation, means it's not the actual body and blood, but the actual body and blood intermingles with the wafer and the wine, and intermingles with each other. All three are Christian thoughts. All three. Which one is right? Some believe in pouring of. Some believe in Jesus only when you're baptized. Some believe in immersion only. Some believe in sprinkling. Some call it christening. Some call it blessing. The same thing you're doing, but everybody's calling different things.
You know what I just looked up online?
Yeah.
I said, how many churches are there in the United States?
How many?
96,000.
90,000.
96,000. Hold on. Let me make sure that's at 96,000 and not 960,000.
Oh, ain't that. In the United States, it ain't going to be that many.
It says 96,000.
My. And that's the known churches.
That's the known churches.
That's not a church in somebody's house.
Right.
Basement. They're not counting those churches.
96,000. How many churches are there in the USA? In wikianswers.com. Wiki Answers.
And that's one country.
Yeah, in the United States.
That's not all the world.
Mm-hmm.
So let's multiply that 96,000 by what 500 and some hundred of nations in the world.
Well,
that's seven continents. I mean, just multiply all that up.
Now, wait. Now, somebody else is answering and saying something. 96,000 by itself is enough.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But somebody else said there's over 450,000 churches in the United States, according to Premier Tourism Marketing's website and a few others. Whatever the case is, it's a lot of churches in the United States.
Certainly.
Okay? A lot of churches in the United States. And for so many churches to be in the United States, why is so much hell going on?
Because there's a division among the churches.
There's hell in the church. Mm.
Right.
Hell.
Oh wow, that should be a chapter.
The church's emphasis is not on winning souls. I know
that's right.
That I came out of when we gave our annual report. Our annual report was how much money we raised, how much money we dispersed, and how much money we bring to the conference. And then there's one line: how many conversions? One line. The whole. The sheet is 4 pages long, and there's one line that says number of conversions. Not even a line. It's just one little sentence. How many conversions? You say 25. That's not even a line. 1,000. That's not a line. 1. That's not a line. Most of it is about how much you how much you raised, how much you dispersed, what your balance is, and how much you brought to the conference.
Yeah, how much you giving to the brass, the
all about.
Giving to the bishop.
Line says number of conversions. But that shows you. Where's the power of God in that?
My Lord.
We spent 4 days talking about everything, about the other parts of the sheet, of the report, and about 2 minutes on how many people were converted.
How many people were converted?
Mine
and write that down, and that's the end of that report. Nobody knows how many people have been churched, how many people have been trained, how many people are in ministry class. That's not important. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
From the Bible study, that's an only report.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor is determined by how much money he brings in, whether he stays in that church or not. He could bring in 5,000 members. But if he says, I have nothing to bring to the conference, he won't be the pastor next year. He brought 5,000 members in. He ain't going to be no pastor next year.
Ooh, we need to think about what we're thinking about, huh?
And that's not one denomination. That's all of them.
Well, I don't know.
Yep.
Is that all of them?
That's all of them.
Yeah. That's all of them.
That's
over here, too.
Because you may have a church amongst that group that stands for the Lord, but if you're talking about the denomination itself, the big body of the church,
all the
bishops and presiding this and presiding that and prelates and overseers and all the people come together. I'm talking about that church. I ain't talking about that little church on the corner somewhere that still remains faithful to the cause. There's always a church like that.
Well, then we need to go back to the book of Acts.
We all do.
Yes.
So who wants to go to the book of Acts? Feeding the poor, do all that kind of stuff they did.
Pastor Felicia?
And who wants to sell the property to somebody else?
Book of Acts is one of my favorite books.
What'd you say, Pastor Felicia?
I said, I don't mind. Book of Acts is one of my favorite books.
It's the history book of the church. It's the only book that's the history of the church. That's the only book. It actually is the history of the church.
Mm-hmm.
When the church began at Pentecost, you know, 30 years, it encompasses 30 years of the first 30 years of the Christian faith. That's what the book of Acts is, the first 30 years of the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
All the major heroes of the New Testament are noted there in the books of Acts.
What'd you say, Pastor Felicia?
I said they had discipleship. You don't see that no more. They went out two by twos to make disciples.
Well, the Jehovah Witnesses do that. I'm not talking about the Jehovah Witnesses because, for real, I'm saying that to our shame. Okay? The Jehovah Witnesses go out two by two, and they out. Let me tell you something. The old people are out. The men and the women are out. They're out there knocking on your door. They don't care how many doors got slammed in their faces. They don't care how many times they got cursed out. They don't care how many times they go to the door and people peep out and won't even open the door. They still going to the door. And they going two by two with their literature. Okay?
Right.
They have to go out. They have to go out. It's not a choice. They have to go out. And if they don't go out prospecting, as it's called, if they don't go out prospecting, they're going to have a problem with the leader of that church. They don't call it the pastor. They call him whatever they call him. But they're going to have a problem with whoever's in charge of that particular part of the church.
Mormons almost the same way.
They go out. And, them deacons out there, they have their little tags on calling themselves deacons. And they go out there with their white shirts on and their ties and their black pants. And, they come right on out. And what we do, we go into church, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hickey Messiah, help me tie my bow tie, Rhoda Ben Hyundai. And all of that. And not going out there prospecting, doing nothing. Because we think, because we on TV, because we on the radio, because we this and that. We don't have to go out and do it. Come on, the Muslims are standing out on the street with bullhorns. And a podium,
sure is.
Those radical Muslims, those what they call them, the radical ones.
Nation of Islam.
Yeah, but they call themselves something else. I can't think of it right now, but they call themselves something else. But they the ones be standing up there talking about don't believe in Jesus because he white.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, they radical, and they standing out there. They don't care who like it and who don't like it. They stand out there on the podium at some place where they can get the most attention, downtown, Center City, Philadelphia.
The thing that surprised me on Broad Street one day, I was going to buy something, and it was from a Muslim store. And at 12 o'clock noon, exactly, that man shut down his business, got on his knees, and start praying to God. I said, my Lord, here I am a preacher man. Get ready to buy something from this man. And I wouldn't even think about what 12 o'clock, let me kneel down and pray. He closed his business, shut down his shop, pulled down the thing, and went outside, didn't go inside the building. He went outside, laid his carpet down on the ground, and prayed. And I said, my God.
And during Ramadan, they close that shop down at 12 o'clock in a heartbeat.
Sure will.
They close it. They don't care if you're in the store. They be like, you got to go. We got to close down. It's Ramadan. It's 12 o'clock. We got to pray.
That's right.
Shut the store down.
Well.
Okay? And they don't care. They don't care if you don't like it. Oh, no. We shutting down. They don't care about the money. They don't care about none of that.
Mm-mm.
They shut it down because that's what they're taught to do, and that's what they do.
And don't you dare desecrate the Quran. Like putting it on something or opening it up and leaving it open like we do our Bibles and stuff, throw it on the table, all helter-skelter, put things on top of the Bible.
Right.
Like we take it so carelessly. You know, our Bible's everywhere. Maybe on the floor somewhere. You don't care. They revered, because my wife and I, we taught in South Philadelphia at this charter school. And most of those kids there were Muslim. And they would bring there, and they're going to a Christian school, but they were Muslim as far as their faith was concerned. And they would bring their Quran. They would talk Christian principles because it was a Christian school. They would bring their Quran, and one of the young people that were there that was a Christian didn't respect their Quran because it wasn't their Bible, so they just threw it, I think, or oh, I know what it is, was opened it up and left it open. And that Muslim, he jumped, you know, he got so upset. What are you doing? That's our holy book.
You got to wash your hands.
You can't just go helter-skelter with that book, any old thing.
You got to wash your hands.
Or you can touch that book. That's the holy book. That's their holy book. Now, if they believe that's their holy book,
but we walk around with crosses on, ain't got no power.
Nope.
Walk around with the big Bible sitting in the back of the car window, ain't got no power. Who you ministering to? Let me tell you something. I don't go knocking on people's doors. No, I don't. I'm going to say that. Okay, because I ain't going to act like I do. I don't. But I pass out tracts. Okay, and I might not always hand tracts to people, but I leave them on the train when I get on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I just went around my apartment complex and tape them to people's doors.
I saw it today. today I saw it. Oh, my Lord.
Tape them to their doors. Tape them to the mailbox. Tape them to the front door. And I went up there this morning. They was all gone. And the first thing I thought about was these people are just heathens. They just took the stuff and just ripped it off. I don't know if somebody took that and read it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they did. But I don't know if they took that and just threw it in the trash or they read it. I don't know what they did with it. I don't see any on the floor. So I can't say what happened, but I just pray that, you know, that somebody will get saved behind one of those tracks. Because we don't know what God's going to do. Some of them still got them left on their doors. I don't know why they don't take them down.
So no matter what they did, they do with it, you did what God required you to do. That's all we can do. Now, what they do after that, the one thing they can't say they haven't been told.
I put them on people's doors. I mean, on their cars, you know, on the windshields, the windshield wipers. I put them on there. I leave them on the bus in the seat. I leave them, like if I'm waiting for the train, I leave them on the seat, the bench out there. Because I don't know, it's thousands and thousands of people that go through there every day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it enough, I don't think, but I do. But those people are relentless in what they do. They're unified in what they believe. You ask one Jehovah's Witness one question, and you can go across the United States and ask another Jehovah's Witness the same question, and they're going to give you the same answer.
Well, they make it mandatory. We don't make it mandatory.
Right.
An officer, you're going to be a preacher in the church and not even go to Bible study. You can be an officer in the church and not go to prayer meeting. You don't go to a prayer meeting and you're one of the officers of the church. We went to a church not long ago, and then the pastor said, encourage all of his officers to go to start coming to Sunday school. But we were there for 2 hours. We didn't see him in Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't understand if you can make a mandate on your people, but if you don't follow it.
That's
right. Why people don't follow it. They don't think it's that important because you don't think it's that important.
Because we need to think about what we think about. We need to think about
her.
Seriously.
Exactly.
You know, think about what you're thinking about. Like, the stuff that you're thinking about as far as building the church up, is that what God is thinking about? What is God thinking about? How about we change it? We think about what we think about. We know we don't think about too much of what, you know. Let's think about what God think about. God thinking about souls, because that's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross.
I think our next thing should be that. I really think that should be, what does God think? What's got on God's mind? We always talk about what's on our mind. What's on God's mind? And then I think the third thing should be, not my will, but thy will be done. Since we already got what's on our mind all day long, let's see if it lines up with what God has on his mind.
I think what we need to do is we need to pray. And we need to really ask God to turn our hearts back towards him. And I'm saying we, and I'm saying our, because when one part of the body is sick, the whole body is sick.
That's right.
And we really need to pray. Because if God is showing us this, he's not showing us this just to talk about it on Blog Talk Radio.
No, true.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing us this so we can do something about it. And what we need to do is pray. And we need to ask God to give people ears to hear what his spirit is saying to the body of Christ, what his spirit is saying to the churches, because we got to come together in unity. We got to come together in unity. The book of Acts is so delicious. It's just like, I mean, that will teach us if we will get into it and stop trying to be so, what do you call it, so theological. If we could just come together and stop dropping these $10 words that nobody really understands and come together and stop all this whooping and hooping and, you know, pulling your ears when you're preaching and all these dramatics and get down to the word.
Right.
Understand? Get down to the word so that the power of the word can change hearts. And Gerald said, my husband said, people, they cherish and respect the Quran. If we would look at the word of God like God is God, it's God talking to us. It's our Heavenly Father talking to us through his word. We would begin to respect the Bible more. We just look at it, oh, you know, it's just the Bible. Like it's just another book. But that book holds so much power, so much instruction, so much knowledge, so much wisdom. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, he said, he kept telling the son, my son, attend to my words. Wisdom kept saying this. If you read the book of Proverbs, my son, attend to my words. Don't let them depart from you. Keep them in the frontlet of your eyes. Study me. If you study me, I won't lead you wrong. And it tells them, don't go the way of the prostitute. Don't hang around with drunkards. Don't hang around with angry people because you'll become angry like them. It tells the men, don't be with a contentious woman. A contentious woman is like a drop of water that keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's wisdom in that word. But nope, we just want to look at it as a book, carry it around as a badge of honor.
And you know what a tragedy is at all? In the Quran, there is the Old Testament and the New Testament portions of it, all in the Quran. The birth of Jesus and his virgin birth is in the Quran. So they, when they revere their book, they're doing something that we don't even do. We have in our Bible all the Old Testament is like they do. They believe in Abraham. Abraham was their father. And they revere them. And here we are Christians. Mm-hmm. And we don't even, in the same passages, they're revering by not, just like you say, washing your hand when you touch the Quran. You're washing your hand to read about the virgin birth of Christ. And that's what's in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Yet here we are. We have the whole story about the virgin birth, both in Matthew and in Luke. And I don't, you know, wash my hands. What do I gotta wash my hands for? Why do I worry about how I handle the Bible? As long as I got the Bible. No. How you handle the Word of God in the physical is how you handle the Word of God in the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't revere it and respect it and honor it in the physical, you won't honor it in the spiritual. And that's why we don't honor it in the spiritual. Because a Bible's a Bible. You know, it's just another book. We know it's the Word of God, but, you know, yeah. Remember what Abraham told the rich man when he got into hell? He said, go back and tell my brother. They said they didn't listen to the prophets. They ain't going to listen to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To the Word of God, and then, you know, then you're not going to listen to Christ. The Word of God is Christ from the beginning. In the beginning.
Amen.
Was the word. That's what it tells me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, we're going to create man in our image. Our image. That was the Christ was a part of that R. Holy Spirit was a part
yes.
of that R.
That's
Father
right.
was a part of that R. They were in the beginning.
That's right.
So how can we have other faiths that don't even believe in Christ as the Son of God, as the risen Savior, as the second person in the Godhead? They revere portions of their Bible that talk about the same Christ. And we have the Bible that talks about him in his trueness, in his fullness, in his completeness, and we look at it half-heartedly. We critique the Bible. There ain't no Muslim that critiques no Quran and lives to tell it. They don't critique the Quran. That's the Word of God, pure and simple. We critique it. We have biblical criticism. You go to theology school, seminary school, Bible schools. It says there's a course
mm-hmm.
called Bible criticism where you critique the Bible. See what's logical, what contradicts each other. Is it Deuteronomic and all that kind of stuff? This foolishness.
Right.
Trying to dissect it to the point that we'll never understand the Word of God. We're trying to study it like you do biology. Like you do
who
physics.
Can know the Son of Christ? Amen.
Thank you. We better be careful. That's all. That's all I gotta say. And there's not gonna be no place in heaven for all the schisms that we have either. Not gonna be no place for that. There's one true faith. One. Even the word says there's only one faith, one baptism, one God, one Lord. There's only one faith. All this other stuff is gonna kill us all. Going to condemn us to hell. I believe, I'm going to be honest with you, I believe some folk going to go to hell for what they believe, not so much what they do and don't do, and I don't steal, and I don't commit adultery, and I don't look at porn. Yeah, but your life is not wrapped up in the Word of God. Your
right.
life is not wrapped up in the Word of God. All that plays a part. Not part of it, all of it. My wife just talked about Proverbs. Psalms talks about it. Everything in the Bible talks about the Word of God is key to whether you go to heaven or not. All of it. Not the portions that we like because we've already overcome them. See, we like to talk about the portions that we've already overcome. oh, yeah, well, I don't do this no more, so I can talk about that. I can be judgmental about that one because I've overcome that. But how about that thing that you still do? That thing that you don't
all
do?
Right.
Do? What about that part? Oh, no, well, I'll gloss over that one. I'll gloss over that. In fact, I would ignore that completely. This book is in one binder. That means all of it's the same. All of it's
mm-hmm.
the same.
It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Exactly.
One Lord. And the way we act, we think it was more than one God, the way we act.
All right, now you're right about that.
Make me want to ask people, well, what God are you serving? Because I don't know.
That's what you're going to have to ask nowadays.
Now, I'm talking about the Christians. I ain't talking about the Muslims. I'm talking about the people up in the church all every Sunday. Well, what God are you serving? Because I don't know. We're not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You say it's okay for you to still act the way you acting? And God's cool with it? Which God is that? I don't know. Can't be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It can't be him.
We got so much stuff going on around here calling us the body of Christ. It all can't be the same if all of it's different. How about that? I mean, that's almost logical. That's not even biblical.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm saying
mm-hmm.
something, you say something different, but it's all the same thing, what does that mean? How can one and one be two and five?
Mm-hmm.
One is two, is three in mine. One is four in mine. One and one is two in mine. Which one is right?
Mm-hmm.
They all can't be right. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. No, it's Father and Son, and then it's Jesus only. And it's come on, all this can't be right.
That was a hand clap, man. That was a hand clap.
All right.
Oh, that was a hand clap.
Yeah, yeah. It was applause.
Tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you this. Now I'm through. I'm going to tell you the truth. A lot of folks going to be surprised in the judgment about what God, all that God requires. And I'm going to tell you the truth of what he's telling me right now. And you're really going to be required of the things he really wanted you to be.
Well, let me tell you something.
I'm intrigued on.
The church better get right. That's all I know, because when my sister was bringing me home the other night from the fellowship, she actually stopped by her house to get a couple of things and then brought me home. But as we were sitting outside waiting for her fiancé to come outside, there was this crazy lights up in the sky. And she said, what is going on up there in the sky? These lights, like, it. When you first looked at it, it just looked like, like a spaceship. It looked like, you know what, you've seen in little scary movies when you were younger about the spaceships and stuff. And it looked like it was foreign. It was crazy. So I was like, I hope Jesus is not coming back right now. But something as simple as that, it could have been Jesus coming back right then. You know what I'm saying? He could have been cracking the sky right then. We don't know when Jesus is coming. We don't know when he's going to part the sky. We don't know when the trumpet is going to sound. The question is, will we be ready?
Mm-hmm.
What if there was Jesus the other night? And even if Jesus don't come when we think he's going to come, we don't know when it's going to be our time to leave this place called Earth. Will we be ready? Will we be ready? Jernice, she died yesterday. She was 48. Same age as me, 48.
My mind.
They don't know if she had a heart attack. They don't know if she, you know, died of just regular natural causes. I don't tend to think it was natural causes. But she was 48 years old, my age.
Wow.
You don't know when your time is coming. We don't know when Jesus is going to crack the sky. The point is that we need to think about what we're thinking about. And then what we're thinking about, we need to, if it's not godly, if it's not things that's going to cause things to be better, if we're thinking about foolishness, because the Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Okay? Let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let what I say and let what I think be acceptable in thy sight, Lord. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because what we think about turns into action. What we think about turns into action. So we need to really think about what we're thinking about. And what we need to be thinking about is thinking on the word of God and think on these things like you said the other night, Felicia. You said think on it in Philippians 4. Think on the things that are pure. Think on the things that are lovely. Think on the things that are true. Think on the things that are honest. Think on the things that are a good report. And if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on those things. Amen. If I would take the time to think on those things, I don't got time to think about what other people think about me.
Amen.
I don't got time to think about what other people think about you. If we think on the things of God, and no, we're not going to be thinking about God, godly stuff 24/7, because there's other things that go on in life that we do have to think about. You know, we got to pay bills, we got to take care of kids, household, whatever. Okay? So we know that we're not going to be 24/7, our mind's going to just be steadfast on the word and the word only. But I'm saying is that we need to train our minds to think on the word of God as much as possible. We need to meditate on the word of God. Stop talking about it and be about it. Meditate on the word of God. Why? Because that's where our life is. It's Amen. Training us to teach us what to do. Put on the whole armor of God. Some people don't even know what the armor is. What you mean, put on the whole armor of God? Some people don't even know to praise the Lord. Some people don't even know you're supposed to worship the Lord. It's supposed to be a daily occurrence, not just a Sunday occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be in a relationship with God the Father. With God the Father. We're supposed to be in a relationship with Him. We treat God like we treat our marriages or our relationships. Once we get to know you, we just really don't want to be bothered with you no more. I got you. I know you. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Misuse you when I want to use you, when I need
you. Yeah. My genie in a bottle. When I need something, I rub the bottle. And poof, come on, God, now give me what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like people to use us. Why don't we do God that way? We have a minute left. See, that 2 hours just goes by quickly. I'll tell you what. 2 hours goes by quickly. When we come back on Friday, if the Lord says we can, we're going to be talking about the battle of abuse.
Amen.
Okay. So pray, Bishop, Pastor Felicia, Misha, I was trying to remember your name without scrolling down. And whatever the Lord gives us, then that's what we're going to come back with. And we want to come back with scripture, okay? So God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. Thank you so much for joining us. And, of course, I got to end with this song. Y'all already know it.
Jesus said, I am He. supplied all your needs, and you said, I know, but tomorrow, ooh, tomorrow, I'll give my life. Tomorrow, I thought about today.
Could very well.